What's good? We back. Yours truly, the one and only Paul Pickett, host of the Paul Pickett Podcast, a.k.a. Triple P, a.k.a. the Common Sense Podcast, your source for music, sports, politics, world events, and more. I'm going to react to a video of King Crooked and Joel Ortiz talking about ghostwriting for other rappers. But before we do that, let's give you a word from one of our sponsors. Here we go.
That lick, that slap, it is that one, that egg bite talking about this new drink. They like, that's that turn, that lick, that slap, it is that one, that egg bite talking about this new drink. They like,
do you dizzle? Yes, I dizzle. Dizzle is a premium luxury liqueur mixed with agave tequila, French cognac, and orange liquor mango mix. Just throw your Dizzle on ice and it's nice. If you want to order your very own bottle or bottles of Dizzle premium luxury liqueur, please go to DizzleBrand.com, click on our locations, click on one of the top three website links. I recommend Emilio's Beverage. It's the cheaper link. Must be 21 and over. Shipping and handling is included. And below that is locations in California, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Arkansas. So check them out, Dizzle Brand. They got the Dizzle Brand merch as well. It's under the DizzleBrand.com store, and we got the Dizzle Brand SD store coming soon. So let's pull up this video.
For niggas, that's the niggas' top fives.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Likewise.
And you know what I'm saying?
Wait, I'm aware.
I'm aware. You know what I'm saying? That's non-disclosure agreement.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh, I'm very aware.
Yeah, crazy.
Walk through the buildings.
I'm gonna start to say that shit too, man. NDA, man. You know, I wrote for half the niggas in the game.
No, it's a real thing.
But it's real.
I swear, man, it's a real thing.
I know it is, but
real.
I would never put it out like that. But that's the real, you know.
Yeah, y'all can tell me off camera.
Oh, facts.
Yeah. I won't bring it up.
I don't know where it came from, right?
Right, exactly.
If you walk through some of those buildings, you'll hear the reference tracks.
Yo, dogs,
you go through at the right time.
Yeah,
what is that like? Do you still respect the people that you're writing for?
I do.
But you would never take that, right? You never take a verse from somebody.
No, that's not me.
Okay, it's not you.
Yeah, nah.
It's not you.
I'm just from that era, bro. Like, I'm not mad at nobody that do it, but I didn't come up in that era. I came up in the era where you gotta pin your own shit.
We back to the top.
But even in that era, everybody didn't pin their own shit. This has been going on for a long time. And one thing I wanna go over and talk about is something that Joel Ortiz said when he asked him a question. Do you still respect the artist that you wrote for? Why would you not? I mean, why would you be writing for an artist that you don't respect? Then, I mean, it's all about the money. Then you can't be saying, oh, I do this because I love to do this. Which cats like Joel and Crooked, they're kind of cats like Anthony Kiedis from Red Hot Chili Peppers. They love to make music. The money part is just a bonus. You know, let's not forget that one of the first big hit record for N.W.A., Eazy-E was rapping on that song. Ice Cube wrote the song. A lot of that early N.W.A. stuff, Ice Cube wrote a lot of that stuff. Dr. Dre, The Chronic, Snoop Dogg wrote a lot. Dr. Dre's always had writers. I know Jay-Z wrote Still D.R.E., Eminem wrote on The Chronic 2001. I know a cat from Fayetteville that wrote for Dr. Dre. Locally, his name was Rain. And that's the thing. They were talking about NDAs, non-disclosure agreements. Maybe back then they didn't really have NDAs. Because it's common knowledge now that Jay-Z wrote Still D.R.E. And it doesn't change the fact that Dr. Dre still made a banger. You still got to go in and make a finished product. And if it becomes a hit, you still got to go in and make it a hit. It ain't just the lyrics that makes it a hit. It's the whole package deal. Voice, delivery, lyrics, beat, hook, everything, you know? So, yes, I'm with Joel Ortiz. Like, you can't, if you sit there right for cats and you don't respect them, I mean, that really doesn't look good on your behalf, you know? And it doesn't change the fact that Dr. Dre Chronic was a classic album. The Chronic 2001 is a classic album. Both albums are nothing but bangers. Puff, Diddy, you know, people wrote for Diddy. I'm pretty sure people wrote for Jermaine Dupri. This is common in hip hop. This is common. All these R&B singers and pop singers, they've always, most of them have always had people writing their stuff for them. Neo writing songs for all types of people. You know, this is common. That's why you got different aspects. You know, you got singer, you got songwriter, you got producer, you got a recording artist, you got performing artist, and everybody can't be all these things at once all the time. Sometimes people are just good at certain things. But let's keep it going. I want to hear what else they got to say.
Did any of these verses like make it like hit single, like number one or anything like that?
Or number one?
Top 100? What?
Yeah.
Hey, man.
Y'all think y'all think I'm trying to narrow it down?
No. There's plaques.
Yeah, plaques, bro.
There's plaques.
There's plaques.
Is it singles or is it album cuts?
Why are you doing that?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Why are you trying to get that?
Because it's a question that follows behind it, but you won't get it.
There's been celebrated records, yes.
Celebrated records.
Very accomplished, successful
records. Heavy rotation.
Records.
Yeah, for sure.
Hell yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Hell yes.
Were they bigger than your records?
Hell yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can't believe Matt Hoffa just asked that question. You just ask... Like, his second question contradicts the first. You ask, did you write records that were big hits, you know, top 100 hits and top 10 hits? And all due respect, I love Joel Ortiz and King Crooked, but the underground cats, they wasn't putting out top 10 hits, you know? So he should already, he asked a straight rhetorical question because the second question contradicted the other one, the first question, because the second one was rhetorical. Like, you should already know that they wrote records bigger than the ones they put out because they just said these were top 10, top 100 records, and underground cats don't normally put out top 100 records. Just keep it moving, though. That was common sense. That's why this common sense podcast.
Now I got to ask, like, how does that happen?
Well, first of all, not everything that I pen is hip-hop.
Oh, so they were like R&B songs.
I'm just saying. There's levels.
So you write country and western.
There's levels to this shit. I
hear you. All right, so my art form is the most complex.
Right.
So getting to the other stuff, I actually take a little bit off.
Bro, you be writing R&B records, bro? Like...
Nah, I write. I'm a writer at my core.
I know, but do they turn into R&B records after you write them?
Well, no. I mean, everything is rhyming, right?
Yes.
Everything is rhyming, right?
So, yes.
Yeah, I wrote everything. I wrote a lot of stuff, bro. Yeah.
Matt Hoffa's killing me with these rhetorical questions. He just said, you know, it's like, what are we doing here, man?
Reference it to?
A lot of stuff.
Do you reference
two
it to?
Put two and two together. Get
yeah,
four.
I got a voice, man. Yo, I was trying a lot of hooks on a new album.
Yo, I ain't mad at you.
Yeah, son.
Yo, I got a record. I'll be telling people it's Tank on a hook.
It's really me. Fire.
It's really me.
Why you not giving it to yourself then?
Because they won't believe me.
Nah, own that.
No, because he
doesn't
want to own it.
Nah, own that,
you
son.
Don't own
after
that.
They tell me they like the song, then I'll be like,
it's me. Own that.
Really me.
Own that. Own that, though.
Yeah, I don't care. I grew up around gangster singers, nigga. Yeah. R.I.P. Nate Dogg, you know what I'm saying?
Nate Dogg.
Words.
Wow. R.I.P. Nate Dogg.
Niggas will get on you quicker than these rap niggas.
Nate Dogg, rest in peace.
But you know what's crazy? Like, you a new artist, right? You maybe 17, 18, 19. How much experience you got to write about?
Nah.
Great point. I mean, How much life experience does a 17-year-old to 18-year-old got to rhyme about? I could tell you, I started rhyming at 14, and 4 years later, I didn't have much life experience to rhyme about. But schools, getting in trouble with following knucklehead leads, and smoking weed. That was about it. Great point. What? How much really experience do you really got to talk about?
Not much, but like, for them, it's like this new AI thing where they're like, you can feed an AI program like thousands of records and then tell it to create something, and it'll create pieces of a lot of the things that it's already heard.
Mm.
So I feel like young writers, they're like that. They listen to music all day long, and they kind of like take pieces from everything they composed of.
Yeah.
But they really don't have like their own experiences to sing about yet.
Wow, it's funny he says that. The guy that got me into rapping, that's exactly what he did. But there's always been people like that, Math, that just take little Slick Rick rhyme, a Heavy D rhyme, Dougie Fresh rhyme, a Channel I rhyme, Karis one, whoever. They take Q-Tip and a line, they hear this cat say line, and they bunch it all up in one rhyme. That's always been going on. That's nothing new. The guy that got me into rhyming, that's how he wrote his rhymes. He basically recycled other people's rhymes into one rhyme. That's nothing new.
Interesting.
If they got a good imagination, if they're good at watching,
yeah,
there are exceptions to that.
It's like that 13-year-old that just rhymed about having keys in the crib and the cops rushed and all that shit.
Yeah.
Where do you think you got that from?
Yeah.
Or Nas living in the middle of Queensbridge.
Or Pac, Brenda's got
that's
a
why,
baby.
That's why
Pac,
I like
right.
Pac.
Yeah.
Like,
For a 20-something-year-old, his shit was too deep, man. It's like he had an old soul.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Biggie, too. That was a little... Like, when you think back at it, you'd be like, yo, Life After Death was written by a 23-year-old?
But, dog, let me tell you something, son.
These cats way before their time.
Dogs. I seen a lot. All the way to 19. Like, 19. Yeah. Dog, I seen a lot.
Right.
I seen niggas leave in front of me. I seen pregnant women buy crack. I've seen hell, nigga. Right. Like, at a very tender age. I deal with some of my...
I gotta agree, though, with them. Like, some... There is an exception. Most 17, 18-year-olds haven't lived a life yet. Don't have a lot of life experience. But, I mean... A cat that was in one of my rhyming groups, one of my rap groups, went to prison for murder at age 15 or 16, you know, and he's seen a lot up to that point, you know what I'm saying? He's seen a lot up to that point where he was 15 or 16, because, I mean, if you're living in the straight hood, even at your early age, you've been exposed to some things that you just wouldn't see it on the day-to-day in just a middle-class American neighborhood. Just a regular middle-class, hard-working neighborhood. You wouldn't see that, you know. Even in the neighborhoods that were like 50% black and 50% white, they wasn't so hood to the point where you, like he was saying, at that young age, when you exposed to that environment, you're going to see a lot of things early.
These deaths now.
Mm.
I was at the wake, but I ain't really was at the wake.
Because
I ain't really know what, I couldn't value it. That's why the young dudes in the hoods is really the wild dudes. They don't really know what they doing just yet. Like, how scared are you to pop somebody if you don't know what happens if you get caught?
Right.
Yeah.
You a cannon. I did this shit twice. I didn't get caught. I'm laying everything down.
Yeah.
Then you get caught and you go, oh, wow, I got a daughter.
Yeah.
You know, and that's when it's when you're sitting in, you go, oh, shit, I should have redid that one different.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, you can see a lot at an early age if you come from, you know, humbling circumstances.
What?
I was more so speaking to like the 17, 18, 19-year-old love songs. Things like, you can't really be through it. You can get a puppy love, what you saw shorty on the bus. Damn, I should have said something.
Yeah,
but you ain't. It ain't gut wrenching. You ain't looking outside coughing somebody. This bitch is crazy. Like, you know what I'm saying?
So that's not happening.
Yeah, nah, not at 17.
Nah, nah, but.
Oh, they hurt Mac Young. They hurt you, Young.
Bro, don't get me started. Even though she been
Meg
on
was
my
crying
line.
At 12.
Oh, oh, damn,
Mac. Mac was crying at 12, bro.
Oh,
damn,
bro, no. What I know for a fact is at that time, that world, even though it's this big, that's your whole world.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that puppy love is
true.
The first one. It's this big. It's all encompassing because it's the only one you've ever had.
Yeah. But I'm just saying, like, you know how Al Green and all of them, they had, I mean, they
deep,
grown
soulful,
ass.
Yeah. Let's stay together and whether it's good. But what I'm saying is, it's not always going to be the experience that you have the right from. Some people can rely on their talent to convey said experience in a way that you still would. If you just sat here and talked about your first whatever, and I just went all the way back to 12 and was like, oh shit, I remember that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
All of that's a talented.
Look, I like where he's going with this because music doesn't have to be about personal life experience. Like, there's cats like Slick Rick that are just great storytellers. Nas, Rewind, you know, Listen Up, Gangsta. What he said, Bob the Head, Spitting Up, Back of My Day. He did everything backwards, Rewind. You could just storytell too, you know. You could storytell, or you could just concept. Everything doesn't gotta be about life experience, you know. But I just like what Joels was saying about. Yes, he still respects people that he writes for, because it doesn't take away the fact. I mean, that they still gotta go in, and still gotta record a banger. Their voice gotta be good. Their delivery still gotta be good. The beat still gotta be fire. The hook's gotta be on point. You know, writing the song is just one aspect. You still got to market and advertise the joint too, you know. So, I think that's how hip-hop is the only genre where people do this. Like, oh, you didn't write your own stuff. You know, nobody's doing that in pop and R&B and rock or anything of that nature. Those genres are completely fine with people writing their hits and then performing them, you know. But it's just hip hop that does this, you know. You got to write your own rhymes. You got to be, you know, if not, you're. This is the music business, man. It's a business. It's all about making hits. And then if one cat's got to produce and one writes and the other is actually the voice of the song, I mean, that sounds like a team effort to me. That's what it sounds like, a team effort. Like three people just made a hit record, you know, and that would be like the thing for you to say, like, oh, because you wrote the song and he performed it, that you got less respect. He could say the same thing about you because you only writing and you not performing the song. You wrote the song, but you didn't perform this hit. Or he could say, the producer could say the same thing about both of y'all and vice versa. So, yeah, I think we need to pump the brakes on that. Joel Ortiz is right. You don't, just because you write a song for somebody doesn't mean you lose any respect for them. They still got to go and make it a hit. Once again, I want to thank y'all for tuning in, Paul Pinker Podcast. Before I go, I want y'all to check out these new little apparel t-shirts we got here. Let's see, this shirt's right here we got with the Pit Bulls. I got one on right now. You can buy these at promopowers.biz. Go to the merchandise or go to Esty /shop/ new litter design. I'll be throwing the links in the descriptions as well. Thank you for tuning in. And I'm out.